I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Guys, I'm drunk. And I started a Patreon. At patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for both my podcast, The Writ Bites and Paleo Writ. For the Paleo Bites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about Jurassic World Evolution. This is my favorite game. I have 3,000 hours played on this game. I'm not exaggerating. I'd marry it if I could marry a game. But I can't. The game can't consent. Shame. I love this game. It's the best dinosaur park builder game ever. I love it. Jurassic World Evolution, baby. We talk about it on the Patreon. Link is in the description for where you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a lovely day. Don't let anyone tell you you can't have a good day. You can have a great day. You were going to have the best day ever. I'm drunk. I'm gonna throw up.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleo Bites, the podcast more hellish than the Hell Creek Formation. My name is Matthew Dahl, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by someone who does a really good impression of how I think a Majungasaurus would sound like if it talked, Ben O'Regan. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you? Cure, everyone.
I'm good. It's just, yeah, here, that last episode we were on at the end, you'll hear that, listeners. So, it's pretty good stuff.
Hello.
Yes, there he is. Sounds like a mix of Jabba the Hutt and Dr. Claw from Inspector Gadget.
I've never seen Inspector Gadget. Not the movie anyway.
I haven't either.
I've seen the old cartoon they
voice.
Did in the 90s.
Yeah, that's all I have reference of it. I've never seen it either. I've just heard people do imitations of Dr. Claw, and he always sounds like this, you know. So, okay, here's a dinosaur-related question. If you could adapt any dinosaur-related property into a major blockbuster movie, no matter how obscure or how weird, which one would you?
Oh, that's easy. Dino Crisis.
Yeah, exactly. Why did I ask?
Okay. Just don't let the guy who does the Resident Evil live-action films direct it. I don't think he's a bad director by any means, but his adaptions are very loose.
Yeah, like he just... That guy, I think it's
Paul Anderson.
W.S. Anderson.
I like his wife, Mila
Djokovic,
I've forgotten the name. Djokovic, yeah, she's a good actress. She just gets some crap roles, but...
Right. Well, he just released...
Keep him away from it.
He just released a Monster Hunter movie, which I've heard is no good. And I like Monster Hunter, so that's sad.
Yeah. I mean, at least his Resident Evil films, the first three or four, I'd probably just say the first three, though. Like, you can turn your brain off and watch them as a kind of guilty pleasure. Like, you know, they're bad,
right.
But they're entertaining, even though I'm sure some fans will want to crucify me for saying that. But
right. Well, you know, he's
true. They're watchable at least.
Well, and he also did the first Mortal Kombat movie, which a lot of people seem to pretty like enjoy as a guilty pleasure. So.
And there's another film he did to, like, I think it's called Pandorum or Pandorum.
Oh, yeah.
It's about a colony ship that goes out from a dying earth. It gets stuck, and most of the crew have devolved into these degenerate cannibals
right.
due to an evolutionary accelerant in 1,000 years.
That's right.
Time.
He also did Death Race, which I think is kind of a guilty pleasure of mine.
The remake, right, with Jason Statham?
Exactly, with Jason Statham, yeah, so... Yeah.
Oh, it's Statham, my bad.
That's okay. Yeah, he's got like a mixed resume. He's got some like guilty pleasures, some decent stuff, some crap stuff. So,
and I wouldn't trust him with a 10-foot pool around Dino Crisis.
Yeah.
It's a pretty hard series to adapt by all accounts. Like in my not by all accounts, I mean in my opinion.
Right.
Don't know why I said all accounts,
yeah.
But I think it can be done. I think the reason so many of these video game adaptions are crap is the studio is more interested in cashing. So
yeah.
Like, you get people that might know it but don't know how to adapt the game. So like, get a fan to do it. That way, even if it's still kind of crap, at least it's a passion
right,
project.
Exactly.
Like, the Prince of Persia movie that Disney did, I think it was, or whoever did it, that was halfway.
Yeah, that was like...
I've never played the Prince of Persia game.
Yeah, the Prince of Persia movie
wasn't
pretty good. I didn't like how they got a bunch of white actors to do them, and they tanned them up, but I don't know. Other than that, it was all right.
Yeah, that's always going to be controversial with movies.
Yeah.
Like, we won't get too far into it, but it's like that. A guilty pleasure of mine is Gods of Ancient Egypt.
Oh, Gods
Egypt,
of Egypt.
That one that had a bunch
yeah.
of the Game of Thrones. It's like, that's good. And I do understand some of the criticisms, like, why are so many of the actors Caucasian? And it's like, well, you do realize that even if they'd cast a lot of Egyptian actors, it still wouldn't appease a lot of people because there's that whole controversy over whether the ancient Egyptians were dark-skinned or not.
Right.
So we won't get into it.
Yeah, no, it's...
You can't... It's,
a...
it's one of those arguments you're never going to please anyone,
right. Well,
basically.
It's, yeah, exactly. But, you know, one thing... You know, if they were to ever do a Dino Crisis movie, I think they should really put a Machiakasaurus in it. And speaking of which...
so... Indeed. Yeah.
Machiakasaurus, it means vicious lizard. Type, it is a noasaurid theropod, a group of poorly understood meat-eating dinosaurs related to the abelisaurids. And like we said last episode, they have some representation.
Oh, maybe not, but apparently they're ceratosaurids.
Yeah, they're another type of ceratosaurid. Yeah, but they're like in the same sort of branch as the abelisaurids, because those are also ceratosaurids. So...
Oh, right, a bit like how carnosaurids are an offshoot of the allosaurs, or closely related.
Yeah, so it's kind of like how the raptors and the tyrannosaurs are both silurosaurs, even that kind of thing.
Or, to be more accurate, the raptors and the troodons.
Right. Well, yeah, but even like the raptors and the troodons are more closely related, but they're also related to T-Rex because they're all silurosaurs.
God, I remember back when they used to say Tyrannosaurus was a carnotaurid, like the allosaurs and all that are, because of the
yes,
size.
Yes, I remember
like,
that.
No, that's a bad way of classifying things.
Yeah, I remember that. All right, Machiakasaurus. Size, 8 to 15 feet, slash 2.8 to 4.5 meters long, 88 to 282 pounds, 40 to 128 kilograms. Those big ranges in weight are just because those are the range of estimates. Like, it was a carnivore, obviously, with those teeth.
It wasn't particularly big, as you just said.
Yeah, exactly. Time, late Cretaceous, 71 to 68 million years ago, so it didn't quite get to the meteor. So it knew when to leave. It knew exactly when to head out. Location, Madagascar.
And its teeth are its most distinctive feature.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to its teeth. Described in 2001, pop culture appearances. There's actually one. The preschooler-aimed CGI show Dinosaur Train has one as a character named Bucky, which is neat. I think it's cool that
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, Dinosaur
Train.
And I've
heard of something called Dino Trucks.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that, too. Yeah, no, Dinosaur Train is this CGI show for preschoolers. It's like, it like teaches them about dinosaurs. And it uses some really obscure ones, too, which I actually appreciate. Like, so that's it's pretty cool. It's like you go on this train that the further you go down on the track, it, like, takes you further back in time. So that kind of thing. So.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
At least it's not Barney Tear, I guess.
No, exactly. Well, Barney's not really about the dinosaurs. It's about, you know, friendship and life lessons. This is about the dinosaurs, so... Yeah.
And so. I think we mentioned this in a previous recording, or it might have just been a chat we had, but I do have a soft spot for Barney, even though you'd be hard-pressed to find an adult that would admit to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have a soft spot for Barney, too, just because I lived near the town that it was filmed, so that was pretty cool. Yeah.
It's just one of those things, like, it's good when you're a child, when you're an adult, it's not really terrible, but you just feel ashamed to admit that you liked it when you were younger.
Yeah, no, I don't think there's... you know, C.S. Lewis said, it's one of the most childish things is to try and get rid of being childish, you know, like, the fear that you have to grow up is in itself childish, so... Mm. That's the kind of thing.
It's a bit like when you're a teenager. A lot of teenagers will cringe at some of the Disney's animated films that they like. Then when they hit their 20s, most of them will actually be fine with them and they like it. Barney's just one of those ones that, because it's so kiddie-ish.
Yeah, that's a bit different. But
it's
there's
still
more...
cringy afterwards.
Yeah. No, it's a little different. But, you know, no shame here. This is a shit. It's a guilt-free zone here. A judgment-free zone. So... On the whole, dinosaurs had pretty uniform teeth in their mouths, like, on the whole. Like, while mammals have canines, molars, and other teeth with distinctive shapes from each other, each dinosaur had pretty much a single type of tooth in their mouth that they just copied throughout the rest of it. Like,
which isn't to say that dinosaurs didn't have diverse teeth, like the teeth of hadrosaurs
right,
and
iguanodons. Yeah, what I mean...
And just later ornithopods are famous, but yeah, I get what
you
mean.
Yeah, what I mean is that...
They had one type of tooth.
Yeah, each dinosaur had one type of tooth, rather than like mammals, which have multiple types of tooth in the single mouth. So, yeah, T-Rex's teeth were all serrated and knife-like. Stegosaurus's were all flat and brick-shaped, you know, that kind of thing. A select few dinosaurs, though, had a few different type of teeth in their mouths, most famously Heterodontosaurus. But one of the weirdest examples, though, is Masiakosaurus.
Its teeth are basically just like these big, long...
Like forward-facing, curved outwards... Kind of like some of those weird fish or sharks that you can sometimes find.
Like if you saw its mouth, like a reconstruction of it from the right angle, it would look like two rakes put together.
it would, wouldn't
almost.
It? But the creature's name is a mix of the traditional Greek used for many geniuses and Malagasy or Malagasy, or again, we don't know how to pronounce that, the official language of Madagascar. Masiaka and Malagasy means vicious. And of course, Saurus means lizard in Greek. So.
Unfortunately, it was probably not a very good choice of name, despite it sounding kind of badass, because of the fact that this does not look like it was a vicious predator. I mean, its teeth were completely unsuitable for tearing larger food apart, let alone...
No, they think it was meant for, like, grabbing meat. Small things, like grabbing lizards, kind of hooking
like,
them easier.
Yeah, or like the field guide, the dinosaurs from the 2000s depicted it as a fish eater, but it sounds like it
that
probably would have,
eater.
As you just mentioned, like... It almost sounds like it would have been like the land equivalent of a crocodile's death roll. Like it grabs something with its mouth, holds onto it, and then thrashes it around to like shake the shit.
Right,
out
yeah,
of
that
it.
could be cool if it did a death roll. I mean, not literally a roll, but a kind of sort of thing where it kind of like uses its teeth.
Like a death shake or
yeah,
a death
yeah,
rattle
something
or something.
Like that. Yeah, it's not doing a barrel roll on out in the land, but yeah. So.
No, I don't think even some of the pterosaurs with teeth like that would have done an aerial version of that.
That would have been cool. There's a term for that. It's like aileron roll, but I don't remember what it's called. So, but you know, while it might not have literally been vicious, it certainly looks mean. Like the front four teeth in the lower jaw project forward, as do a couple in the upper jaw. And the purpose of these has long been a mystery to paleontologists. I mean, like we said, there's some theories that it made it easier to grab smaller prey, like maybe fish or lizards or... like you said, it would have been a hindrance in tearing larger food apart. And
heck, for all we know, the teeth could have been brightly colored, so to speak, with bigger, or not brightly colored, but, you know, like using displaying sexual selection.
Yeah, that could
like
have been something.
Birds. Like, the bigger the teeth and the better the color, like, the less decay they got them, the more it might have impressed the females.
That's a theory, too, yeah. But it makes sense that, like, that it would tackle the smaller prey, because this lived at the same time as Majungasaurus, so it had to fulfill a different niche. So,
and it definitely seems to have had some form of sexual dimorphism, because there's a robust form and a gracial form, so one of them was probably the male and the other the female, though, which we don't know.
Right.
Like, generally, the assumption is robust male, gracial female, but as we've seen with some species of dinosaur and some species of mammal, the female's the big one, the male's the skinny
one.
Well, one
of the creatures we just talked about earlier on this recording session a couple episodes back, the giant moa, the females are the big ones. So.
Indeed. Exactly. Oh, I was about to get to that. Maybe to
that. We just think similarly. Oh, man. So some particularly bold paleontologists have suggested that these teeth would have been good at grabbing fruit, which would be weird because look at these pointy teeth. I don't think frugivore when looking at teeth like that, but you do you, paleontologists.
Yeah, I mean, we know fruit and flowers were around at the near the end of the Cretaceous, but...
No,
I can't see that.
I'm putting my foot down. This is not a fruit eater.
Nah. Yeah, I'm going to chuck that in the bin with Jack Horner's scavenger T-Rex.
Or Jack Horner's, like, Torosaurus is the real Triceratops. Or
I mean, granted, that there was a bit more of a basis for that than the scavenger Rex. I mean, I guess the scavenger Rex was based on its olfactory lobes being massive, but if that thing was a scavenger, what the hell was killing all the kills? Unless it was the younger Rexes were hunters and the adult Rexes were scavengers, but then that's weird.
Which, you know, I could buy that. Like, maybe not, like, adult Rexes, but, like, old Rexes were scavengers. Like, elderly ones, maybe. I don't know. I could buy that, but other than that, no, yeah. So
random bit of trivia to cut into this, but it just because it's interesting. Yeah. You might remember Andrew Serkis, infamous for, or not infamous, but seen him walking with the beast. Turns out it wasn't a creodont or whatever they're called. It was actually an entelodont.
Yeah, I heard about this. That's weird. Yeah,
so
they thought
it wasn't
like a
wolf wannabe with...
No, it was more like a pig.
It was a hell pig.
Yeah, that's funny to me. I thought that was funny. I'm actually planning on doing an episode of Andrew Serkis later on with someone, so that should be fun. We'll definitely talk about that.
Apparently, entelodonts are also closer to whales and hippos and pigs.
That makes sense. They're all artiodactyls, so...
Hmm.
Speaking of grabbing, Masiakosaurus had somewhat long arms for a theropod, certainly much more than its close relatives, the abelisaurids. Like, these arms could help with grasping the same as the teeth, maybe going after lizards, insects, scorpions, or if it was feeling particularly bold, the giant frog Beelzebufo, which I've talked about earlier. And I've actually done an episode of it by this point. I'm planning on doing it with a friend of mine.
Just the name of that frog, it sounds like something that if you say it three times really fast, Jack Black will appear and start singing about face melting. Or something.
I like that. Beelzebufo. 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 Ah, there it is. No.
Nah, instead it summons it's like, Jack Black, Kung Fu Panda.
it's that's true. Or like you've heard of the Bloody Mary thing. Or if you say Bloody Mary in front of a mirror, she opposed to appear.
I actually haven't heard that one. I've heard of Candyman when you say it three times, or Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice,
Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice, yeah. Like, so, I don't know.
Who knows? When they try to do that in the second Ted movie, and then Mark Wahlberg's just the Ted. Are you crazy? We don't want him running around here, and then he tries it anyway, and he says, "You are messing with powers that you don't understand. Cut the shite."
One of my favorite Beetlejuice jokes is in Community. Are you aware of the show Community?
Never heard of it.
So they do a Beetlejuice joke every once in a while. Someone mentions Beetlejuice in the first season, and then someone mentions Beetlejuice in the second season. In the third season, when they mention Beetlejuice a third time, you can look in the background, you can see Beetlejuice walking by and behind some other students. So that was a multi-season long build up to that joke that you only see in the background. It's pretty funny.
I don't know where this came from in my demented brain, but it just made me think of someone saying Pratt, Pratt, Pratt in the film, and then Chris Pratt appears behind you and punches you in the face for some reason.
he probably would, wouldn't he? Alright. Anyways,
especially
so,
if it's his Parks and Recreation persona.
Yes. Yeah, I like that show. The Noahsaurids, which Masiakosaurus was a part of, is a poorly understood group, but as far as we can tell, they're a more basal form group of ceratosaur theropods that also includes Deltadromius, Elaphrosaurus, and Velocisaurus. You've heard of Velocisaurus like Velociraptor, but it's a saurus.
I thought Deltadromius was a dromaeosaurid.
No, actually, it's a Noahsaurid, apparently. I thought it was too, but no. But I gotta say, Veloci sounds weird without raptor after it. Like, what if there was a Triceratosaurus? That'd be the same thing. Ah, oh, man.
Actually, Deltadromius is disputed. It may have been a Neovenaturid Carnosaur, a Tyrannosaur, a Basilosaurosaur, or a Noahsaurid.
Okay, so there's options for Deltadromius. No one knows what it is. But it sounds like it's definitely not a Dromaeosaurid, though, unfortunately. Yeah.
And if it was a Neovenaturid, or Taurid, or whatever I pronounce it, that actually means it's an Allosaurid.
Oh, yeah. Wow, what the heck is Deltadromius?
Ah, okay. Well, then the thing I read that said it was a Noah sword was wrong. Okay. Don't trust Wikipedia for your research, I guess.
But it says it's most likely to be a Noah sword, but it also says that it could be disputed.
That's true. You never know.
It's got a close relative called Gualicho from South America, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that one.
Which is very similar to it, but depending on where it's placed, it could mean Deuterodromius' classification is completely redone.
Right. Well, in terms of rating the animal 65 million, I'm going to rate Deuterodromius like 30 million, but this one, I don't know. Like, I don't know. What am I going to rate?
I'd rate it a 60 myself because of those teeth.
Those teeth are pretty weird. Yeah, I think it's like a 55 million. Like, those teeth are kind of its one trick, but it's a pretty good trick, so. Yeah.
Indeed.
All right, well, that's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattd@matthewdollincreator.com for any general questions to me or any of the co-hosts. I can relay any of the questions. You can find me on social media at matthewdollincreator on Facebook, at matthewdollin64 on Twitter, and matthewdollin64 on Instagram. I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoic, available for print and Kindle. There is a Masiakasaurus in it in a brief scene in a restaurant that's meant to convey how disgusting and nasty this restaurant is. That the Masiakasaurus is one of the waiters.
So, I thought that rang a bell. I was like, I completely forgotten the scene. Then I'm like, hang on. Yeah. Recognition, like a light bulb appears above your head in a cartoon.
Right. Yeah, no, in the second Megazoic book, The Primeval Power, there's a Masiakasaurus as a waiter in a restaurant. So, yeah,
very poor choice of career.
Yeah, I'd say so. All right, well, that's it for this week. As I say at the end of every episode of Paleobites, do your Masiakasaurus voice. I imagine it sounds like Gollum. You know,
my precious.
Watch
out for the Majungasaurus.
Uh-oh.
That's a pretty good voice there. Okay, that's just Donald Duck, but okay.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.